Welcome, everyone, to the strangest Christmas Eve worship service I believe I have ever been a part of. And that has nothing to do with your strangeness or my strangeness. It's simply that in the era that we were in, we already are wearing masks. We are sitting socially distant from one another. The biggest portion of our congregation we do not even see. Welcome, online friends and family. We are so grateful that you are with us as well. So we already had those things, and now we're gathered 3.5 hours earlier than we even expected because we have severe weather that is coming, and we want to make sure that all of you who are traveling in for the service in person and all of you who are leading in this service are safe as we do these things as well. So thank you, all of you, for pivoting. Thank you, all of you, for being willing to do things differently, and thank you for this opportunity that we have together to worship. In the midst of all that has changed this year, in the midst of all that is different, we are reminded that Jesus comes anyway. Regardless of what the circumstances look like, regardless of what's going on in our world, regardless of the darkness that might be there, regardless of the brokenness that we might feel in our own lives and circumstances, Jesus comes anyway. And so we celebrate. And so the Advent period is coming to an end. And we celebrate his coming.
Will you join me with the responsive reading, call to worship, if you'll stand with me, and I'll lead us, and then we'll do the The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. The people who walk in darkness, that is us. We have seen deep darkness in the world around us. So we have come to search for the light. We long for the light to guide us. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. We long for God's joy in our lives. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. We long to be relieved of all that we carry. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is named Emmanuel, God with us. In this tiny baby, this vulnerable child, we find our light and our joy and our comfort.
Oh, Let us pray. Lord, we arrive today on this Christmas Eve at the end of Advent, and we are tired. Tired of waiting and tired of clinging to the expectation of a better world. Now before us looms another night. Lord, help us to see that while our labor continues, tomorrow is Christmas. Soon our waiting will be over. Soon we will look around with eyes unveiled to your presence among us. Help us to see that we are not alone, and that in truth we have never been alone. As we enter the season of Christmas, may your love and joy and hope and peace, which far surpasses our own, may it envelop us and encourage us. May we find in your faithful healing presence life to its fullest, that we may join in the chorus of the angels and all of creation, singing glory to God in the highest. Alleluia. Amen.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. Stand with me, please, for responsive reading, which comes from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
The stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear says, O night divine, O night, when Christ was born, O night divine. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let ever, ever praise we know.
Thank you to all of our folks who've worked so hard putting this service together, all of our musicians, Leslie, our creative worship leader here, making sure that we got everybody in the right places and everything happening. And thank you all for pivoting and changing so many things to be here so that we could be a part of this service today at 3 o'clock. And thank you for your willingness to share with us. Let me say a couple of things first as we get into this next portion of the service. If you are online and have not noticed yet that we are doing communion as a part of this Christmas Eve gathering together, you may want to run and grab some communion elements, some of that fruit cake that somebody's given you or whatever else it might be that works for you that's in your homes so that we can share communion together in just a moment. I know all of you who are live have received your elements already so we can participate in a moment together at the communion table. And as well, I want to say thank you to Reverend Caitlin Brown, who read Mary's section of the Christmas story for us. Just a little plug for Caitlin. Caitlin will be preaching this next Sunday on the 27th at our 10:30 service. We have one English-speaking service this next Sunday at 10:30, and Caitlin will be preaching for us. The last time Caitlin preached for us, she talked about liminal moments. And who knew that we were going to live one big year-long liminal moment when she was preaching that and sharing that with us. So, Caitlin, I'm very interested and concerned about what's going to come next that you share with us. Be grateful for you to be here. Thank you for doing that. And this Sunday at 10:30, one English-speaking service, and then our Spanish-speaking service at 12:30 as well. 2020 has taught us so many new things. One thing it's taught me is to appreciate the word pivot. I've said the word pivot so much more this year than I ever had before. Maybe you have as well. Now, pivot refers to keeping one foot firmly planted on the ground while being able to move the rest of your body and the rest of yourself into its best position to handle whatever you are facing. Now, I learned the term pivot in basketball, like perhaps some of you did. It took a while to teach little Randy how to pivot correctly. After a number of whistles and a number of explanations, I finally learned how it worked. But pivoting is a term that we've had to apply to every area of life in 2020. As a matter of fact, even Christmas Eve has held so many pivots this year. We've had to pivot in planning socially distanced, wearing masks at our inside services like we've done every Sunday morning together since June. That was one pivot. We had an outside service plan this year so we could pivot and have that outside service opportunity to sing songs and carols. And as the weekly weather report came out and as the week progressed, we began to realize we're going to have to pivot away from that as well, because as try as we might, we were not going to ask all of us to pivot past raindrops and past wind. And then we pivoted here. This service was at 6:30. If you feel like you lost 3.5 hours of your life, you really didn't, but it may feel that way. And now we're here at 3 o'clock because we had to pivot again because we have threats of severe weather on the horizon. Staff and volunteers and all of you, both in person and online, had to change your schedule. I'm grateful for this Facebook Live time online so people can participate and so people later on can watch the video and participate as their time and family situations allow. And of course, this pivoting doesn't count for the changes to family celebrations you're doing tonight and tomorrow, the reductions in travel and the changes to traditions and the implementation of new traditions. And it certainly doesn't count all that's changed all through the Advent season. Services that we have missed. Concerts. It's the first year since I've been here, the Virginia Symphony was not in this room for Handel's Messiah. As a matter of fact, the Virginia Symphony was not in any rooms simply because of how things have been working this year. I guess it makes sense. We spent the whole of 2020 pivoting. Why wouldn't Christmas Eve and Christmas Day be any different? In our season of Advent, however, we've been asked to make a significant pivot. We've been asked to pivot away from fear and anxiety. It's the call that God has given to us through what we know as the Christmas story. As a matter of fact, every one of the four major characters, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, all of them, the word of God comes to them in an angelic visitor. And the first words we hear to these folks is some variation of, "Do not be afraid." We have been asked to pivot away from fear in a year where fear has been what everywhere else has tried to arouse in us. And we've been asked, commanded, to not be afraid. "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the people." Every person around the world, around each nation, from every party, from every occupation, from wealth to no wealth, from status to no status, whatever color of skin or whatever language you speak, this is good news of great joy for all the people. We are challenged, we are commanded to pivot away from fear and instead to choose hope, peace, joy, and above all of these, to choose love. That's what we've challenged one another to do this Advent season. You've been a part of those different services this year, the four Sundays of Advent, and able to think of these choices and ponder how God is calling you to choose hope, peace, joy, and love. I'm glad. If you've not been able to be a part of these services, they are online so you can listen and you can face the challenge yourself. The challenge to choose hope, peace, joy, and love. But on this Christmas Eve, I must remind you that none of us on this planet, none of us have the strength and the willpower to choose to live a life of peace, hope, joy, and love on our own. None of us have that kind of ability to completely put down our selfishness, our own preferences, our own wants, so that we live fully in the mission of God, the kingdom of God's way of hope, peace, joy, and love. There's only one way there. And what the Bible tells us is, it is the way of Jesus. So at Root, friends, the challenge of choosing hope, peace, joy, and love is really the challenge, will you choose Jesus? Will you choose Jesus? Now, there are folks that are listening in person online that perhaps have been considering whether or not they need to follow Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've been thinking about Jesus. Maybe you've been studying. Maybe you've been reading Jesus' words and listening to others, trying to understand if this Jesus life is for you. If so, I hope you'll direct message us right there on your Facebook feed. You can do that. I'd love to join that conversation with you. Love to be a part of listening to your story and hearing what God is doing with you and offering you the opportunity when you're ready to choose to follow Jesus. But for all of you in the room and all of you online, or all of you who will watch this at some point, many of us are going to be very tempted to say, we've already chosen to follow Jesus. We've already chosen Him. We've already asked Him to forgive our sins and lead our lives, and we've already been baptized with Him. We've already joined a church family. We're going to be tempted to think that we have checked off choosing Jesus on our list. Sadly, friends, I think too many people have chosen to believe the right things about Jesus without immersing ourselves in the way of Jesus. And choosing Jesus is not merely about believing the right set of precepts about who Jesus is. It's believing these precepts, trusting Jesus with your life, asking for forgiveness for your sin, and being transformed to look like Him in every way of life. Because if we believe the right things and live in the wrong way, what do our beliefs really mean? If we believe the right things about Jesus, if we proclaim the right things about Jesus and do not stand for hope and do not stand for peace and do not live out a life of joy in the face of difficulty and do not choose to live out a life of love in the face of all the difficulties of our world, have we not failed to be who Jesus has called us to be? Friends, the church of Jesus should be the number one exporter in the world of hope, peace, joy, and love. And sadly, persons who are not Jesus followers do not look at church buildings, church people, and listen to church stories and think, wow, those are the most loving people I've ever met. That's not the story that's being told. And we can either argue about how we're being misrepresented, or we can look inward. And ask the Holy Spirit to search us. to see if our words are lip service, or if we are really deeply growing in the hope and the peace and joy and love that Jesus has called us to export into this world. We read this last Sunday, Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Paul tells us, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We were made to imitate God. We were made to live the life of love that Jesus exemplified for us and opened the pathway to offer to us. When we decided to choose to follow Jesus, we did not simply choose to have our sins forgiven and our lives restored. We chose to live a new kind of life in the present and for all eternity. And that life is a life of love, joy, peace, and hope. We were made to bring these things rooted into Jesus, rooted in Jesus. We were made to bring these things into our world, regardless of our circumstances. Because anyone can love when things are going well. Anyone can have joy when things are going well. But to love when people hurt you, to love when people mistreat you, to have joy when the circumstances are hard, to bring peace when everything inside of you wants to flare up and fight back. To bring hope when the only light you see seems to be that train coming at the other end of the tunnel. That's Jesus living. And Jesus sacrificed everything to choose to show us that way to live. We are called to sacrifice, to export hope, peace, joy, and love into the world in the name of Jesus. It's our calling. But even more than that, it's our example. Jesus came to our world, giving up all of heaven to come and live in the midst of us. Out of love, out of grace. And Jesus came and walked on this earth and knew the pain, knew the tiredness, knew the exhaustion, knew the hurt. And then, when we were at our darkest moments, Jesus died on a cross for our sin, not because he had sinned, but to sacrifice so that we might choose to live in his way, to live the life of the kingdom of God, the life of hope, bringing peace, choosing joy, and choosing love. Jesus was our example. He sacrificed so that we might know the love of God. This Christmas, as we celebrate the coming of the Christ child, may we remember that sacrifice, and may we recommit ourselves to sacrificial living in the way of Christ, the way of peace, hope, joy, and love. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In John 6:51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. After they had finished their meal, Jesus took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant of my blood, given for the remission of sin. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so in remembrance of me." First John 1:7 says that if we walk in the light, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with God and with one another, and the blood of Christ purifies us from all sin. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. On this night of Jesus' birth, we remember that even in Jesus' birth, we see the sacrifice of love. Because God did not have to send Jesus. Jesus did not have to come. But he chose to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Pray with me. Lord God, on this night, we are grateful beyond words. We are grateful for your love. We are grateful, Lord, for the hope that comes again. We think about the Lord, the world that is weary. We think about our own hearts that are weary. And yet into this weariness you have come. Thanks be to God. As we leave from this place, Lord, let us be more committed to live in your way, to live in love, to live with hope, to live as bringers of peace, to live as contagious voices of joy. May we with our lives sacrifice so that people will know that God is with us. In the name of Jesus, born on this night, we pray. Amen.